Tonight, this Holy Thursday, we, of course, recount a whole lot of things going on. If you look at various commentaries of the Bible, when we get to this point in Jesus' life, the volumes start to get bigger. We have so many things to talk about, even in 1 week of Jesus' life, that encapsulate everything that we ought to know. Tonight are several things that are being recognized, and lots of things going on. The opposite is actually what we just heard about in that short dramatic audio clip from the fictional demon Screwtape teaching a fictional demon Wormwood how to tempt a person. The opposite of all the events and activity of Holy Week was nothingness. One of the sly, subtle temptations that not fictional demons, forces of evil, but real, literal forces of evil, the distraction is doing nothing about our life, wasting our years in nothing that amounts to something good and beneficial. If the devil would want anything out of you and I as Christians, is for us to hold on to the depth and riches of everything Jesus wants us to know and hold it all right inside. The forces of evil would love nothing more than what is said in this space, in this church, never goes beyond the walls. To box God in and do nothing about our faith. That word, of course, is sloth, named after the animal, of course, that lives in the rainforest, that moves so slow. Sloth, laziness might be a better word. And it's one of those things that we heard in this audio clip that is really easy for us to fall into. Even in such a fast-paced world where we have so many things in our own home schedules, so many things planned, that we have family events, of course, that we want to meet, especially this week, so many things on our mind where we can't even fall asleep at night because we can't stop thinking. All of those events going on, what the forces of evil would love to have us is forget our religious duties. That God has paid for our souls, done the work for us, but that doesn't mean that the work doesn't continue. Right? Our Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, told us that we are saved by God's grace alone through faith, but not by a faith that is alone. What that means is, yes, God has done the work. We simply trust in him, but we don't just sit there and do nothing. Good works still count, even for even good Lutherans. And that's exactly what today is all about. It's called Maundy Thursday. You ever wonder why it's called that? When I was growing up, I always thought it was kind of weird, like it's 2 days a week in one, Monday, Thursday. Doesn't make any sense to you, does it? Monday, Thursday? Maundy. What's a Maundy? You guys ever heard of that? You guys ever use that word, Maundy? Well, to make sense of it, we got to make sense of God's word. So I want you to open your Bibles tonight. Go to a different reading than the one we just heard. We're going to go back to the Luke reading in a little bit. But first, we're going to hear of the same event recalled in John chapter 13. The Gospels, the four Gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, often recall the same events of Jesus' life from different eyewitness perspectives to help get a very full picture. John, one of those disciples that actually stood there, didn't run away at the crucifixion, has a lot of depth to talk about us and talk about this night, Maundy Thursday. In John chapter 13, we hear of all these events. Jesus washing the disciples' feet, talking of Judas who would betray him, instituting the Lord's Supper. But In John chapter 13, the verse 31, we hear something very, very helpful. If you're looking in your pew Bibles, we're at page 900. In John chapter 13, verse 31, we hear of the new commandment. This is what tonight is all about. It's called Maundy Thursday because of the Latin language of the ancient church. Before English came around, and long before German came around in worship, people used Latin, especially if we grew up with a Roman Catholic church. And in Latin, these words, new commandment, end up sounding like mandatum novum, a new commandment. Mandatum, like a mandate, we all know mandates. Mandatum novum, a new novum mandate. What's the new commandment, you might wonder? Well, what does Scripture say? If you're following on, verse 31, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." After Judas has run away from this upper room, Jesus continues with his other disciples saying this, "If God is glorified in him, God also will glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Then he turns and says, "A new commandment I give to you." We all know the Ten Commandments. We all know the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and a similar one like this, love your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment, Jesus says now on this night, that you love one another, but just as I have loved you. That's the new part that makes tonight special. Not just to love your neighbor as yourself. It's easy to do that because we love ourselves. It's a little bit harder to love the Lord your God with all your heart. But this new commandment, to love just as I have loved you, is what tonight is all about. To love like Jesus loves. Just as he loves, we are all to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The world will know that we are Christians by our love, but not a love that comes from our unique personalities, a love that looks like Jesus. That's what tonight, Maundy, the Mandate Thursday, is all about. Now, you might wonder, what does Jesus' love look like if we're called to do that, right? How do we love like Jesus? Well, funny you should ask, what does Jesus say? Let's ask his words. Scripture tonight we heard from Luke 22 is the same event from another gospel writer. Tonight we heard the same words when the disciples were arguing who is greater. As Judas was saying, "I'm going to go get some money." James and John are over here wondering who is more important. He says this, Luke 22, verse 27. "Who is greater, the one who reclines at table, being served, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table?" Pretty obvious. "But I, among you, am the one who serves." Did you catch all that? What was going on that night up in that upper room? They were celebrating the Passover meal, a meal that continued for centuries, all the way back to Moses in the Exodus, the escape from slavery in Egypt. Every year, God's people would celebrate and recognize that night when lamb's blood was over the doors of their homes and the very angel of death came to kill all the firstborn of Egypt that didn't have that blood. And they were remembering that Passover meal. And they should have known better, because all 12 of them came that night, walking into a room that was all furnished, ready, dinner was about to be served, and all they had to do was sit down. But something wasn't right. There was nobody else there. There wasn't the normal servants that would come and remove their sandals, clean off their shoes with the leftovers of the day, walking around in dust when there's animal manure on the roadways. It gets to be kind of dirty. And nobody was there to serve them, to wash their feet, and so they all just sat down and ready to eat dinner. And they were almost done eating until they finally realized they're still dirty. And so Jesus himself gets up, their rabbi, their teacher, and he's the one that does the dirty work. He does the work of a servant boy and gets down on his knees, washes the dirt, the refuse of the day, from their feet, and shows them what service looks like, shows them what his love looks like. So, on this Maundy Thursday, this Commandment Thursday, we might not have to untie somebody's shoes or take off their socks, especially after a long day where they might not smell too great. We might not be called to wash a person's feet, but every day we are called to give of ourselves and love sacrificially. God has placed in your life people and things that need you and just you, that only you can reach them. Some of you will have a husband or wife that you'll go home with that needs you and you only. Some of you will have children that God has blessed you with, that you're privileged to be able to live with and parent. God has called you to serve them sacrificially, giving up your best interests. And when we do that, we silence screw tape, we silence Satan, because we match what we would want to do with diligence. We live and look like Jesus. We get down in the dirt, in the mess, and we serve. So tonight, churches around the world will celebrate tonight, and we might make it as a museum where we come and, yes, we learn the night that Jesus instituted this holy meal, and we'll go on with our day and we'll celebrate it next year. We'll forget about it until the next year after that. And that's exactly where the world and the forces of evil would love to have us, to forget rather than remember what service looks like. So tonight, we might always fail in our attempts to serve one another and to love God, but that doesn't mean that we should stop. But one thing is to remember the night that we remember many things. We heard about this one place. Not just what was going on, but the place. The upper room. That strange place where Jesus said, "Follow man, and you're going to have dinner there." What's interesting is in the Greek language that the New Testament was written, the upper room is a word that means kataluma. And it's only otherwise used in the New Testament in another special place that we here at Bethlehem should remember. It wasn't called the upper room, but it was called an inn. Way back in Matthew's gospel writing, he says that Mary, who was with child with her husband Joseph, came to give birth to the child Jesus, but there was no room for them in that upper room. That guest house where they were about to serve and give birth. And they couldn't. Tonight, we know that there is room for you in not the upper room, but this room. Jesus is, of course, the greatest at this table. But he makes you just as great by giving you of himself, his very body, his blood for you. And what we do is we don't hold on to that. We don't leave the gifts of God here in this place. We take them with you. We serve. We don't have questions about who needs us. We do it anyway. And when we do that, we will show Jesus and why he makes a difference in your life. So I encourage you to look and love like Jesus this Holy Thursday, and as well the next day and the days ahead of your life. When you do that, we will know that one little word will silence evil. Amen.